Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of The Real Movie Busters, where we will talk about this year's upcoming Academy Awards.
Or the Oscars in layman's terms.
Yes, for the layman. But, you know, not everyone knows that the Oscars and the Academy Awards are the same thing. They're actually given by the motion picture. Geez, I don't even remember what it's. The MPAA.
I'll take your word for it.
The Academy of Arts and the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences. That's not the MPAA. I'm sounding like a fucking idiot already. Hey, we're the movie experts. It's AMPIS, the American Motion Picture. Oh, fuck me.
You're supposed to be the smart one.
The Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences. I know it. I swear. I just fucked up. But anyway, every year the Academy, which is the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, the professional organization, gives away the awards to the top movies and the people behind the scenes who make the movies. And it's also known as the Oscars, which... That name has gone back to the Academy librarian way back when, I think in the 20s or 30s, her name was Margaret Herrick. She thought the statue, the trophy, resembled her Uncle Oscar. So they started calling it the Oscars. So the statue is Oscar, named after this woman's uncle. So let's get down to it. This year's Academy Awards are coming up this Sunday. So we're going to predict who we think will win and who we want to win. Sometimes I have differing viewpoints, but Sean, how do you think we should do this? Should we say who we think will win, or should we say who we want to win?
Let's say probably who we think,
right?
Yeah.
We're experts. We work in film, and we could talk about who we think will win. It'll seem credible.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's a secret ballot, so it's a crapshoot until it happens, but we could weigh in on our professional opinions. But let's start off with the big one. Let's get everybody into it with the one you have to wait until like midnight to see on Oscar night, or where you are in Hollywood, 9 p.m.
Yeah, something. 9 o'clock. Yeah, they get out at a reasonable time out here.
Yeah, you're like, stay up late. I was just going to the bar when I hit that traffic. So, Best Picture, Motion Picture of the Year. This award goes to the producers of the film. These are the nominees: A Star Is Born, Black Klansman, Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, Roma, Vice, The Favorite, and Green Book. The amount of Best Picture nominees is the only category that can have up to 10 nominees each year, depending on the votes. This year it's 8.
Wow. So I don't know why they just don't have 10 all the time.
It has something to do with the math behind it. If something doesn't get enough votes, then it doesn't go into that category. You have to have a certain percentage of the votes to make it into that category.
Ah, all right. Well, I have seen 2 of those movies.
Only 2. I've seen all 8. And for our listeners, just so you know, as a member of the Writers Guild, I'm lucky in the fact that I get all the a lot of the DVDs sent to my home, and also then there's sometimes free screenings for me to go to of other movies. So I'm also a member of the AMC Stubbs Premiere, where you pay a monthly fee and you see how many movies you want for the month or whatever.
Yeah, I had a Movie Pass. That was great till everyone stopped accepting it. Yeah,
the bottom fell out. I had MoviePass too, and it was great for a little while. And then one day I went to see a movie, and it's like, there are no movies in your city. And I'm like, and it was a weekday, and I was like, well, this is over. It's done.
Right. When there's no movies to see in either Hollywood or New York City, it's like, no, nope.
Yeah, I'm not paying you to not see movies, so... And then, like, the weekend came up, and there was 2 movies, and, like, one was a family kids movie, and one was something I had seen, and I'm like, oh, come on. The next week, I was like, all right, this is over. Like, I gave him like 2 weeks from that point, and I didn't see a movie, and I was like, all right, forget it.
Well, back to Best Picture. Now, I've seen Black Panther and Black Klansman. I'm actually going to go with Black Panther is going to win the Best Picture. Yeah.
You know what? It's funny. Superhero movies usually don't win the big Oscars, but Black Panther has had Oscar buzz since the spring. The person who would win this award is Kevin Feige. He produces all the Marvel Studios superhero movies, which normally don't win all these big awards, but I think he might win it this time. It's not a shoo-in.
Nothing is, especially with Star is Born is up there.
Yeah, Star is Born. The thing about A Star is Born, it's a good movie. It's interesting. You've got Bradley Cooper nominated in several categories for directing.
No.
But he did direct it, but for producing, for screenwriting, I think he's in the best actor category too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you've got Lady Gaga for best actress and in the music categories, cause she wrote the songs, excuse me. So this thing is up for a lot of Oscars. I'm going to say it's not going to win this one for Best Picture. Other strong contenders are Bohemian Rhapsody. I love Black Klansman. I don't think it's going to win this category. I think Black Panther might win this category, Sean. I agree with you.
Interesting. Obviously, Green Book, Roma, Vice, The Favorite. I also saw Black Klansman. I wouldn't recommend it as a Best Picture, although it's fantastic.
Yeah. It's definitely a hard one to call this year. It's always a hard category to call. I think it was last year where they gave away the awards and they accidentally gave it to the wrong person, right? They gave it to La La Land and it was really for Moonlight?
Something like that. I think so.
Yeah, it was last year, I think. And even the people giving away the awards are like clueless on this one. But we both think Black Panther. I'm a little torn. I also kind of think maybe Bohemian Rhapsody, but I don't think it will win Best Picture.
I haven't seen any of the other movies, I will chime in as if I had.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised you haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody. That's the movie about the English band Queen.
Yeah, I wish I did see it.
A lot of people like it.
My roommate saw Green Book. But he thought it was, someone told him it was the movie based on Dr. Seuss. So he started watching it with the impression that he was going to be a movie about Dr. Seuss. And it's not a movie about Dr. Seuss at all.
What a great prank. No, it's nothing. Let me tell everybody, Green Book is it's a drama, but it's also very funny. I would actually consider it a comedy. It's directed by Peter Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers, who did Something About Mary and I don't know, all these goofy, wacky comedies. It's very funny, but it's about race issues. What a Green Book is, for people who don't know historically, is during segregation, there were Jim Crow laws in the deep south of the United States that, like black people couldn't use certain water fountains. They couldn't use the same restaurants as white people. And these were local laws. Nationally, it was legal to be, everyone was created equal long before this. But in areas of the South, there were towns, there were states where you can't use the same restaurant, you can't use the same hotel, you can't. A Green Book was a travel book this guy made, traveling by car through the South, where African Americans would be welcome at certain gas stations, at certain hotels, at certain restaurants. And this musician, it's about a African American musician who was raised wealthy and affluent and very talented in classical music. He's going to go on tour in the South, and he hires this white Italian poor guy who's kind of a badass tough guy who, you know, he's kind of like a bouncer, does odd jobs for like kind of like local crooks and stuff. He hires him to be his bodyguard to guide him through the South. And they use a green book to determine places they can, you know, sleep and eat.
So not Dr. Seuss.
Not Dr. Seuss. Yeah. It's like, would I
wasn't, you, I, would you, I didn't think we would actually agree on best picture.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we're both going to be wrong, but I think we're also both going to be right. The thing is, it's like, if I'm wrong though, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be Favorite. It's not going to be Vice. It's not going to be Roma. I mean, maybe I should say Bohemian Rhapsody just for the fact that I got a screener and I watched it and I was with my mom and she was like, oh, I really want to watch that. Let's watch it. And she was all about watching that over another screener. I don't remember what it was. And then I was with our friend Chaz and he wanted to watch that more than he wanted to watch, I want to say, I don't remember what the other movie was that I had at the time. And so it was like everybody wanted to see Bohemian Rhapsody. So maybe that's the best.
Yes, the difference is everyone saw Black Panther.
That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth.
I feel like everyone wanted to see these movies, but like they definitely all chose at least one movie over the others. And at some point, I feel like, you know, the most popular movies are probably just there winning Best Picture, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. It's so the Academy is filled with a lot of old people because, like, once you're in, you're in. So, like, there are these 80-year-olds who are just like, what? They got magic Woozy Watsits? They can fight Super Wats? And they're like, I'm going to watch this queen go on dates in The Favorite. You know what I mean? Like, but as people get older and superhero movies, you know, now we're at the 80, Superman's over 80 years old, superheroes are over 80 years old. Things like this will become more beloved by older people as well.
All right, let's move on to another category.
Yeah, I'm going to go to something a little less popular, if you don't mind right now. If you don't mind,
it's
pretty popular, but it's not totally unpopular. Best cinematography, because this year they had the controversy of the Academy announced they were going to give away the Best Cinematography Award during a commercial break for people watching at home.
Yeah,
and everybody got up in arms.
Which is out of, I mean, there's some certain categories where they all work. We need almost all, but there's some that people don't care about, like best documentary short and like stuff like that. Like cinematography is pretty popular.
Yeah, and no offense to the short films, but it's just less people see them because like they're not in every theater around the country. Black Panther played in every theater around the country.
Yeah.
Not one of these documentary shorts played in, you know, Austin, maybe Boston, but not Buffalo, not Cleveland, not Denver, you know? So, and those are cities. So imagine, you know, the small towns between Buffalo and Denver. You know, like Chillicothe, Missouri. They didn't get the short documentaries. They can't even watch them. So, yeah, of course, people are going to care more about the cinematography of A Star Is Born to watch Lady Gaga and that stud Bradley Cooper than they are going to care about a documentary short they've ever heard of.
Correct. Now, for best cinematographer, we got Robbie Ryan in The Favorite, Caleb Deschanel. Never Look Away.
Yep.
Alfonso Cuarón in Roma.
Matthew Libetsky.
A Star Is Born, and then Lucas Zal in Cold War. I have seen none of these movies.
Well, I gotta say, I've seen all of them except Cold War and Never Look Away. I actually, the other day, I was like, you know what? I wasn't mailed screeners for the foreign films other than Roma, which is also on
on Amazon, I believe, or is it on Netflix? I think Netflix. It's Amazon.
It's on Netflix.
Netflix. Okay. Yeah. I had already seen the written because I wanted to see it. But anyway, Cold War, Never Look Away, and Roma are foreign films. And I went to see Never Look Away because I was like, I'm interested in the Oscars and what's up. So I went to see Never Look Away the other day. And it is a film about... It's just before World War II in Germany. The Nazis are in... Austria. It's Austria. The Nazis are in power, and this young woman is like, she's a beautiful young woman, and she's like a sweetheart, and she's got a little nephew. She's like 23, her character, and she starts to suffer from schizophrenia or something, some mental illness, and she's taken away by the Nazis, and they're doing this program where anyone with signs of a mental illness is sterilized. Under the Nazi program. Some people don't know this. A lot of people, Jews, African Americans, gays were brought to concentration camps and killed. Some people don't know mentally ill people. So this woman, she was chosen as like the most beautiful woman who should give the flowers in a parade to Hitler, but then she showed signs of mental illness, so they removed her sex organs and then eventually gassed her in the gas chamber. It's a fictional film, but these things really happened. And it's about her nephew, and then he grows up, he goes to art school, and it gets really long. I was watching it, and he goes to... you're about to say my description's really long.
Yeah. It's you've been going on for a little while. Did it look good or not, Nick?
I gotta say... The one thing I really liked about this movie was the acting is great. The script is super long and drawn out and all over the place. But visually, it was beautiful. And I was like, man, these foreign cinematographers are killing it this year. And then the credits came up and I was like, oh, it's Caleb Deschanel. He's not foreign. He's American. And it's actually my pick for best cinematographer because... He's been nominated for 6 Academy Awards between 1984 and now. Has never won. Many people might know him as the father of Zoe Deschanel, and I forgot the other girl. His other daughter is also a famous actress. She was on Bones.
Emily.
Yes, Emily Deschanel. Anyway, he's been nominated for this Never Look Away. He was nominated for The Passion of the Christ, The Patriot with Mel Gibson, Fly Away Home, that movie about those geese, The Natural, shot in our hometown of Buffalo, New York, starring Robert Redford. It's a baseball movie. And The Right Stuff in 1984, a space movie. So he's been killing it for years, making great movies, visually beautiful. I pick him.
I'm going to go with Roma.
Yeah, Alfonso Cuarón. He's becoming a household name. He's Mexican. He's also the director of Roma. He has won 2 Oscars. One for...
I think The Revenant, right? And
another No, you're thinking of someone else. He did Gravity and Children of Men and Y Tu Mamá También. Those were Oscars he was nominated for. He won Best Directing... and Best Editing for Gravity in 2014. You are thinking of Iñárritu, who did Birdman. He did The Revenant.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, okay.
Alfonso Cuarón is a good director. He's been working for years. You know, he first really got into Americans' minds, I think, with Y Tu Mamá También, with back in 2001. And then Gravity blew people's minds, and you know he did The Children of Men. People love the way that was shot. There are those long takes, like a shootout shot lasts for minutes.
Yeah,
you know, Clive Owen running through that alley getting shot at. It's a famous scene. But so he's kind of a writer, director, and cinematographer.
Yeah, he pretty much does it all. I think this is where he wins it for that.
He could. I would say this is visually his... I don't know. Gravity's pretty impressive visually.
Yeah.
But it's black and white. It's beautiful. Beautifully lit. Matthew Libetstuik. His name. I know we're saying it wrong. We're so sorry if you're listening. But he's a New Yorker. He's from New York. He is known as Darren Aronofsky's cinematography. He's done Pi, Requiem for a Dream, The Fountain, Black Swan, Mother. He's basically done all the Darren Aronofsky films.
All right.
He also did Venom this past year.
No, surprisingly, they got nominated for that.
I am not. I liked Venom, but I feel like even superhero movie fans didn't watch Venom.
No, apparently people did. Out here, everyone seemed to really like it.
Good. Well, I thought the actors were great. It's a little off topic, but I thought Tom Hardy and Michelle Williams were definitely different than you've seen them in any other film before. Venom. Well, those are our picks. I haven't seen Cold War, but apparently it's great. The Favorite, it's a good movie. I just don't think it's the best cinematography material.
Do you think it's best original screenplay? Because that was what we're going to go to next. So we got The Favorite, First Reformed, Green Book, Roma, and Vice.
I don't. I actually am going to go with Green Book as best original screenplay.
Oh.
You know, usually in original screenplay, you don't have true stories. And Green Book is actually, I talked about it being funny and being about these people earlier, you know, like a fluent African-American and a working class poor white man. And it's actually a true story. And the guy it happened to, the Italian guy, helped write the script with Peter Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers and some other guys. Brian Hayes Curie is the other guy. And these aren't actually, you know, it's very different for original screenplay territory. Usually original screenplay is not a true story. Vice, also a true story. Roma even actually is based on a true story. It's based on Alfonso Cuarón's upbringing. His parents got divorced and he had a nanny when he was a little boy. It's kind of about his growing up. They took some liberties, I think, and rearranged events, but...
Well, it's his story. I'm sure he can do it.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't know. No one's going to care that he made his mom and his nanny seem like better people. It's fine. You know?
Like, now, again, I haven't seen any of these, but I'm going to go with First Reformed.
First Reformed. That's a good choice, actually, Sean. Paul Schrader wrote that. He, I think, has been nominated before... No, I'm wrong. He has not been nominated before, but he's won Golden Globes before for writing Raging Bull and Taxi Driver, which were Martin Scorsese films.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, he's been around a long time typing out scripts. I'm looking at his City Hall back in 96. He did The Last Temptation of Christ in 88. I guess basically 80s movies with Scorsese is what he's known for.
Nice. What about, you want to just jump into best adapted screenplay then?
Let's do it. We set our choices for original.
Yeah.
Remind us, what's up?
It's Star is Born, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which is the Coens, who I love, but I didn't like this movie. Black Klansman, If Beale Street Could Talk, Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Right. Now, this one has a few true stories in it. Can You Ever Forgive Me and Black Klansman being the true stories. A Star is Born. This is the fourth version of this movie. It's been remade three times from the original back in the 30s. The 30s, the 50s, the 70s is the more famous one. 30s and 50s were about acting. It was about an actress and an actor. The 70s, they changed it to musicians with, who's that bearded country guy? Barbra Streisand and, what the fuck's that guy's name? I'm blanking on his name.
I don't know. John Denver?
No, a guy with a beard. I feel like John Denver had no facial hair at all. Ever.
That like John Denver.
Kind of had a baby face.
That John Denver was full of shit.
What was he really?
I don't know. It was just from the Dumb and Dumber.
Like, I get a feeling he was a country singer, but I get a feeling he like wasn't really country. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he wasn't really like a cowboy. John Denver, you know?
I guess. I don't know any of his music.
Kris Kristofferson's who I'm thinking of.
Oh, right.
He's a bearded guy who was a country musician who got into acting back in the 70s. Anyway, he and Barbra Streisand were in it in the 70s, and then this was remade with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, all new original music. They're performing and singing. I don't think it's going to get best adapted screenplay. I feel like it's probably not that much different than the last version. It's been written at least four times. I don't think it's going to win this category. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Joel and Ethan Coen have won Academy Awards for directing and cinematography. This is not their strongest. Like you said, you and I are both huge fans of theirs. They're very funny. I feel like this is just something they wanted to do, but I don't think it's their best work.
Yeah, I didn't care for the movie.
It has good moments, but it's essentially like six short films mixed together. One of them, and you know, it's under adapted screenplay. Two of the shorts are actually adapted. The others are original. So it's weird that it's even in this category, because one was a story by Jack London. One was an old Western story by someone else. The other stories were originals written by them. So it's a weird category for it to even be in.
I imagine if two-fifths are adapted, that's...
Yeah, they adapted it. They couldn't claim original,
yeah,
right? Because
then the whole thing would have to be. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think this is the category. Barry Jenkins did If Beale Street Could Talk. He did Moonlight, which won a bunch of awards last year. He won an Oscar last year for Best Adapted Screenplay. And he also won the Oscar last year for directing. I don't think this movie's as strong as Moonlight. It got a lot of buzz, but he's a young guy relatively for the Academy. You know, he's only done a few movies. You know, he did short films until 2016 was his first Moonlight. Actually, I guess it was 2 years ago then. I'm sorry. Or no, it was last year though. It won awards, but for whatever reason, I guess it qualified for last year instead of the year before. I don't think this is his year. I think it's a good movie, but I think the power in it is the acting, not the script.
Right. And have you seen Can You Ever Forgive Me?
I have. It's okay. It's interesting. I don't think it's best screenplay.
I'm going to go with A Star Is Born.
You are, after all. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I didn't say what I was going to go with, but I said everything I wasn't going to go with. I'm going to go with Black Klansman. True story of a undercover cop in Colorado who infiltrates the Ku Klux Klan. It's a funny idea, but also very serious.
And very dramatic. True.
And true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some people have been pooping on it saying like, oh, it's not exactly how it happened. But it's like, you know, every time you see a movie, it says based on a true story. It doesn't say this is the exact true story. So enough of it was true. And yeah, maybe Adam Driver, or, you know, whatever the real life cop's names were.
Ron Adam Swanson. Driver.
Yeah, Ron Swanson didn't have a conversation about O.J. Simpson. But I think it was an important moment in the script where you have a Jew, a white Italian guy, and a African-American guy who are all very similar coming together about something they bond over. And back in the 70s, you and I are from Buffalo, New York, where O.J. Simpson was a star football player for the Buffalo Bills. In the 70s, everyone loved O.J. Simpson. They put him in those airplane movies. He was, you know, in ads for shoes, you know,
Wait, why are you still talking about O.J. Simpson?
There's a scene in BlacKkKlansman where
I know. I saw the scene.
What I'm saying is, yeah, maybe
so that's your choice. That's your pick.
That's my choice. And I'm saying maybe that didn't happen in real life, but like it was a good moment. It was funny because it was historical. Back in the 70s, everybody loved O.J. Simpson. Now everyone hates O.J. Simpson. I think it deserves best adapted screenplay.
All right, I'm gonna go with A Star Is Born. Because I think fourth time's the charm. I don't think it was ever nominated before for the screenplay, and this time it'll win. Then,
are you sure? Yeah. It might have been nominated before. No.
Yeah. Look, I did see BlacKkKlansman, and that was really good. Ballad of Buster Scruggs is bad. If Beale Street Could Talk, like the guy just won an award for, like they never seem to give it back to back Oscars to someone. So yeah, I'll go with that one.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you're right. A Star Is Born in the 70s didn't win Best Screenplay, but it won Best Original Song.
Oh.
Let's go to that category.
All right, that's perfect.
I actually think A Star Is Born is going to win Original Song again. Different song, different version of the movie, but Lady Gaga sells records like it's no tomorrow. I think she's won the best Golden Globe, or she won a Grammy or something for it. I think original song for Shallow from A Star Is Born is going to win.
And I think, because there's a bunch of songs that are up, I'm going to go with All the Stars that's in Black Panther. It's looks like it's done by Kendrick Lamar and some other people. And
yeah.
He's on fire right now. So
Kendrick Lamar is on fire.
It looks like his last name is Duckworth. Kendrick Lamar Duckworth.
Really? It doesn't say that on my list. Is that his real last name?
That's what shows up on mine.
Quack, 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 Mr. Duckworth. Gordon, if you walk out that door. That's hilarious.
I wonder if that means it's somebody else, but no, I think that's him. He's really good, so I think he's going to. There's a song from The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Mary Poppins Returns, and RBG that are also nominated.
Yeah.
But I don't see any of them are going to be.
I got to say, those three movies, the songs might be great, but it's not like they're playing them on the radio. No one's buying. Well, maybe some people are buying records of them, but you're right. The top contenders are Lady Gaga and Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Let's go to an acting Oscar. Let's go to a supporting actor.
All right, let's
go support. Or actress, whatever you prefer.
You know, I was going to say let's go with Best Actress. We're already talking about Lady Gaga. I might as well go to the next one she's
sure
up for. Let you do these names because right. I will not do
You're going to screw up one of the names, right?
Yes, just absolutely. One of them? I'll let you guess which one.
The Best Actress nominees are Yalitza Aparicio from Roma, which I think I said wrong because I said it like it was Italian, and I'm pretty sure being a Mexican film, she's Mexican. She plays the nanny in Roma. And I got to say, did you see Roma, Sean?
No.
Well, stream it to yourself, I guess. But I got to say, there's a scene where she gives birth and they do one take. So I was like, are they going to cut away? Oh, my God. How long is she going to keep up this crying and screaming and whatever? I was like, dude, it's a shot to be remembered. I'll tell you that much. I don't know because it's her first nomination. No one heard of her before now. I don't know if she's going to win. Glenn Close, of course, has been around for decades and has been nominated for 7 Oscars, but never won. She's been nominated this year for The Wife. She's been nominated for Albert Nobbs, Dangerous Liaisons, Fatal Attraction, The Natural, which was shot in Buffalo, as we mentioned, The Big Chill, and The World According to Garp. She has been nominated a crap load of times for Best Actress, never won. I think Glenn Close is going to win for The Wife.
Oh, yeah, that's who I put also.
Oh.
I also think she's going to win, mostly because it's been a while.
Yeah.
But then there's also Olivia Colman for The Favorite, Lady Gaga, yep. Star Is Born, and Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Yep. And, you know, I gotta say, they all did a great job. But I think Yalitza had an amazing performance, but like I said, no one's heard of her before. You know, it's going to be hard to win against someone like Glenn Close, who's nominated 7 times.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman, she's a great actress, and she's in The Favorite. She was in Hot Fuzz, but I think most of her work is in British TV and movies that most people haven't heard of.
Personally, I'd rather see Melissa McCarthy be nominated for Happy Time Murders.
Yeah, it didn't happen, but I actually was, it was a fun movie, it was funny, but I was actually hoping for more.
Oh, I love that movie so much. I wasn't really waiting for more.
You know, people think of it as like a knockoff Muppet movie. I think of it as an actual Muppet movie because it was directed by Brian Henson, Jim Henson's son, who directed a lot of Muppet movies. He did like, I can't even remember. He's the voice of Kermit the Frog, though.
Yeah, yeah. He took over. They had a falling out with whoever owns
Disney owns the Muppets now.
Oh yeah, over how to do it, and he has his own company now. I'm just surprised that they weren't like in any of the other. Like, it wasn't nominated for anything. Like, I don't know.
I gotta say, that movie isn't normally what the Academy people vote for.
No, of course not.
It's fun to watch, but not normally what they go for. You want to go to supporting actress or supporting actor?
Let's go supporting actor.
All right. I think it's a great category this year because these are all great actors. You've got Adam Driver for Black Klansman, his first nomination. Mahershala Ali for Green Book. Sam Elliott for A Star Is Born. He's got a killer voice, that guy. You've got Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me? He's a British actor. And Sam Rockwell for Vice. He played George W. Bush.
I love Sam Rockwell.
I do too.
I really liked Adam Driver in Black Klansman. I haven't seen the other movies. But I'm going to go with Sam Elliott because he doesn't age.
Yeah, and you know what, Sean? I'm going to go for not Sam Rockwell and not Mahershala Ali because they both won acting Oscars last year. One for Best Actor in Supporting Role in Moonlight. That was Ali. And Rockwell for Best Actor... Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. When was last year? When was the year before last year? So Moonlight wasn't last year. That whole flubbub with Moonlight and La La Land was the year before last. But yeah, Sam Rockwell won last year for supporting actor. Ali won the year before supporting actor. I'm going to say neither one's getting supporting actor this time. I'm going to say Sam Elliott as well. He's been around. Who doesn't love Sam Elliott? He's a great actor. This is his first nomination, but he's been nominated for Golden Globes for acting and supporting roles for TV and whatnot. You know, he was in The Big Lebowski, famously. He was in
Tombstone.
Roadhouse, Tombstone. Basically, you got a Western, you put Sam Elliott in it these days.
Him and Kurt Russell now these days.
Yeah, Kurt Russell too. He also, another actor from Big Lebowski gets in a lot of Westerns these days too. Jeff Bridges.
Oh yeah.
That's so the guy's doing that. The Coen brothers do a lot of Westerns these days.
Yeah.
I guess they just grew up with them, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with them. What would you say with for best production design?
Oh, that's a great category this year, actually. I find that there were a lot of weak screenplays this year, but production design, I feel like lately, has been on point for everything.
So what we got up is Black Panther, The Favorite, First Man, Mary Poppins Returns, and Roma.
Yeah. All of them have, basically, they created a whole new world, basically, for all these movies, because even the ones that happen in the real world, they're all set on Earth, but like Mary Poppins returns, you know, all this magic stuff's going on, and Black Panther, all this crazy superhero technology's going on. but The Favorite is a period piece from what, like 200 years ago. First Man is a period piece from the 60s about space exploration, the first man on the moon, Neil Armstrong. And Roma is about the 70s, or maybe it was 1980, at most 82, but it was in Mexico. It was real world, but it's still a period piece. They needed all old cars and clothes and stuff. I think not First Man. Did you see First Man?
Yeah, it was awful.
Right? It was terrible.
It was an awful movie, but people like it gets nominated for stuff. And I will say the only thing they had going for them is the fact that, you know, they all looked like they were in the 60s.
Yeah. I mean, Damien Chazelle is a good director. He did La La Land and Whiplash, but I think he was trying to do something different here. I think he was like, I'm going to show people I'm not just a musical guy. And I think he should stick with more musical based stuff. Even if it's not a musical, this movie has,
Basically, people, the movie drug on. It was boring. It was awful.
I mean, these guys are dying, doing tests, trying to go to space. And I think the problem was with the writing, because they just assume you know everything. All of a sudden, it's like, well, Joe died. I don't know who Joe is.
Right.
I don't know what he's done. I don't know how he died. You know, in Top Gun, you see the scene where Goose dies, right? In this movie, it's like the guy just comes to his door and is like, Joe died. And I'm just like, wait, which one was Joe? How did he die? What are we talking about? And then it's like, well, I guess you're up to go to the moon. And it's supposed to be stressful, but I'm also like, well, I don't know how the guy died. You know?
I'm actually going to go.
He makes it to the moon because everyone knows. The entire planet knows that Neil Armstrong lands on the moon. So don't need to play it up. We know he's going to make it. You know what I mean? Like, don't drag it on and be like that. So all of a sudden, it's like, I want to see the process of going to the moon. I want to see, like, oh, man, that thing didn't work. But instead, they're like, they're like, basically, something happens. And then all of a sudden, it's like, they cut to, he's flying to the moon. There was no 3-2-1 blast off. He's just like, I'm just like, wait, they're on a ship? Wait, is this the time they go to the moon? And then they land. And I was like, wait, this is the time they were going to the moon? They didn't even say it.
Of course they did. You just weren't paying attention because you lost interest.
No, man. I rewound it. I was like, did I miss them saying it? And they weren't. They didn't say it. They said he was going to the moon, but they didn't say this was the time. I thought maybe it was a test. And all of a sudden he lands. I'm like, there's no fanfare. You know, you watch them.
All right. Well, who are you going to pick? Time to go over these movies.
Not First Man.
All right. That's the one I'm actually going to pick.
All right. Go for it.
Yeah.
They recreated the moon.
I would have maybe gone with Black Panther, but I think it's actually going to win Best Picture. Although it could win both, but I'm going to go First Man.
I am going to go with, I'm torn, Mary Poppins or Roma. Oh hell, I'll give it to Mary Poppins. I'm not confident with that choice.
All right.
Back and forth between Roma, but we'll go with it.
Want to stick with this, or do you stick with the best visual effects?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, The Avengers Infinity War, Christopher Robin, First Man, Ready Player One, and Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Now, this is a movie. These are all big movies that a lot of people have seen, but I have to say, I haven't seen Christopher Robin. Have you seen Christopher Robin?
I have not seen Christopher Robin. I did see a mix of Christopher Robin and Trainspotting 2, where Ewan McGregor's character is like shooting up heroin, and now he's talking to Winnie the Pooh. I want to see that movie. I would see. I was all set for that, and I couldn't watch Christopher Robin because of it.
I think Christopher Robin didn't last long in the theaters, and they didn't mail me a screener of it because I wanted to see it, and then I was like, when's this movie coming out? When can I see it? And I still haven't seen it. So
I'm going to go with Ready Player One.
Really? Did you really like the effects in Ready Player One?
I really like the movie, so I think I really like the effects. I mean, they're all really fantastic. Obviously, they're nominated. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to go with Ready Player One, just, I think he's going to squeak it out. Mostly because Solo had such a bad, like, people didn't like Solo. And
I absolutely love Solo.
So do I. I liked it a lot, but a lot of people did not, apparently.
Yeah, I think a lot of Star Wars fans were disappointed with it, which is not good for a Star Wars movie. But I loved it because the only thing it was missing to me were Jedi. But like, I guess a lot of people were like, "Where the fuck are the Jedi?" And
yeah, that would be stupid.
Not really. I mean, I think that was people's problem with it because, like, I'm like, what else are you missing other than Jedi in this movie? It's pretty Star Warsy.
Yeah, yeah. So which one?
There's one other thing. One other thing they're missing. People love Harrison Ford, and this is not Harrison Ford.
Yeah, that I think is the only thing.
Yeah, but you know, you can't make Harrison Ford younger without him looking all digital, and he wasn't going to do it anyway.
No, he wasn't.
They couldn't give him enough money to do it. So, you know, it had to be someone, and I think I liked it a lot. But I'm torn. Star Wars, Avengers, Infinity War. Those are my two choices. I'm going to say Infinity War. You have every superhero from the Marvel Universe movies in this movie, basically. A lot of visual effects. I'm going to go with Avengers Infinity War.
All right. I marked it down. Let's see. We got best film editing.
Ooh, good choice. Film editing. Who's our nominees?
Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, and Vice. So majority of the people up for best film or best picture.
Right. Well, The Favorite editor is also the director, Yorgos Mavropsaridis. Bohemian Rhapsody's editor, John Ottman. That's my pick. He's done a lot of Bryan Singer movies. He did Valkyrie, you know, Usual Suspects, X-Men movies, Superman Returns.
All right. So you're going with the guy from Bohemian Rhapsody?
I am. I think he's a good editor. It's his first nomination for an Oscar, but he won an Emmy a long time ago for music, actually, which is interesting.
I'm going to go with The Favorite.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah. I don't think I think they're going to give the guy them something, but it's probably not going to be best picture or best director. So,
yeah, that's a decent pick. Hank Corwin, who did Vice, was also nominated for The Big Short few years ago.
Yeah, I thought about that movie because it's on there a lot, but I don't know, I never saw it.
Yeah, I gotta say. I think The Big Short is. I think Dick Cheney is a fascinating. I think he's a terrible person, but I think he's an interesting character. I ran into him once in a basement. Man, you want to have your heart stop? I was working on a TV shoot in a casino in Las Vegas, and we were going into the basement. It was me and like the assistant director, second assistant director. We were like mapping the route from. It was a cooking competition show, so that we had to map the route from like the basement. Refrigerators to the ground floor. So we're going through the basement, we turn a corner, and there's Dick Cheney with two Secret Service guys and like some other people. Man, my heart stopped. You like turn a corner in a dark basement like a cavern, and there's Dick Cheney with Secret Service, man. You're like, oh, you know, like it's weird. It's really surreal. You're like, excuse us.
Is that it?
Dude, it's not every day you run into
right.
Vice president in a basement.
Was he vice president then?
No, but he had just been vice president. This was 2014. All right. I guess he had not been vice president for like 6 years, but whatever. Point is, you usually don't run into that guy in the basement.
Yeah.
Like, he was hiding. If you see the movie, he's hiding in bunkers. The president doesn't know where he is. He was hidden more than the president by Secret Service. So it's a weird thing. Anyway, I don't think that movie was as strong as people are making it out to be. I think it has some problems, but I think the acting is stellar. But let's talk about editing. I said Bohemian Rhapsody. You said The Favorite. I don't know what else to say about editing. All these films were well edited, but while we're at it, let's go to an acting best actor. What do you say?
All right. Let's see. Best acting. This will be tough.
Well, as Dick Cheney, you've got Christian Bale in Vice. He's been nominated before. He's actually won Best Supporting Actor before for The Fighter a few years ago. You've got Viggo Mortensen, who's been nominated before. You've got Rami Malek, who hasn't been nominated, but he did a great job playing before today, the now. He did a great job playing a very famous person, Freddie Mercury. And when someone does a good job playing a real-life person, they often get a lot of credit. Willem Dafoe in At Eternity's Gate. I didn't see. Did you see?
I did not. He's the one I would like to win, but I don't think he's going to.
Yeah, I got to say, Willem Dafoe has been around a long time. He's a great actor. He's been nominated for 4 Oscars but never won, but I feel like it's not going to happen because no one has seen this movie.
Yeah, and I'm guessing we're probably going to have the same pick because you usually talk about your pick last with Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born.
No, I actually was not going to say Bradley Cooper.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But he's really good at it. I got to say, I would maybe buy his record if he was a musician. But I was impressed with his acting and his singing. I'm going to go with either Viggo or Christian Bale or Rami Malek. And it's hard to say because I feel like Rami Malek could win. You know what? I'm going to say it. I'm going to say Rami Malek.
All right. I mean, that's more of a safe pick because, well, both of them are playing, both Christian Bale and Rami Malek are playing someone else. Even Viggo Mortensen to an extent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think because Bradley Cooper didn't even get nominated for Best Director.
He might win it.
I think he's gonna get the Best Actor.
Yeah, Christian Bale was excellent as Dick Cheney, as a bald old man. I just don't know. I think he's got a lot of competition this year.
No, there is a lot of competition in the Best Supporting Actress also.
Oh, yeah. And as far as Viggo, he's good in Green Book, but I also feel like it wouldn't have been that hard to act. He does like a Queen's Italian accent. He's got a gut. You know, it's like all he had to do is let himself go and talk with like a Super Mario Brothers accent. No, it's better than he does better than that. But who doesn't like everyone loves like to play a character like that, right? Like, you know, who wouldn't like to impersonate a Sopranos character in a movie? That'd be fun. He's been nominated 5 times. Hell, maybe he should win it. I don't know. Oh no, I'm sorry. Green Book's been nominated 5 times, not Viggo. Let's see if Vigo's been nominated. He's definitely been nominated. We'll go with that. But I don't think he's ever won. He's been nominated 3 times, never won. So, I still think it's going to be Rami Malek. I think he's going to. I think he did such a good job as Freddie Mercury. You know, it's like he had to talk and sing like someone who's very recognizable. I think he's gonna get it. Let's go to. Let's switch gears, Sean, if you don't mind. Let's switch to. We've already done the screenplay and cinematography and editing. Production design. Let's go to costume design.
All right. We got The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Black Panther, The Favorite, Mary Poppins Returns, and Mary, Queen of Scots. I've seen a couple of these movies, 2 to be exact, but I'm going to go with Mary, Queen of Scots.
You know what? That's a good choice. I just saw that recently. Mary, Queen of Scots and The Favorite are both about different queens in history and political struggles they faced, like, within their ranks. I like Mary Queen of Scots a lot better than The Favorite. I gotta say, I was disappointed with The Favorite. I thought it was gonna be hilarious. I did not laugh so much. It was not so funny. I love the actresses in it, but I don't think it's gonna get costume design. Ballad of Buster Scruggs, I don't think is gonna win. Mary Poppins Returns, I don't think is gonna win. Jeez. I mean, is it The Favorite or Mary Queen of Scots for me? You know what? I'm gonna agree with you. I think it's Mary Queen of Scots. Oh. I think because it's an older Queen movie, the costumes were more out of date, and elaborate. They had war costumes as well. You know, chainmail or whatever. They didn't have that in The Favorite. I think Mary Queen of Scots.
Oh, fantastic. That would be pretty cool. I never saw it, but I thought I'd just go with it.
Yeah. Now,
what about Best Foreign Language Film?
Ooh, that category this year is more interesting than usual to most Americans because two of the movies, right, are up for Best Director.
Yeah.
And then you have another one that's up for two of them are up for Best Cinematographer.
I mean, in theory, Roma could win Best Foreign Language Film and Best Film.
Best Picture.
Yeah. Best Picture, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, usually the foreign language films, just historically over time, aren't in all these other categories. And it's like, people are like, what are they? It looks all right. But this one, it's like, well, these movies are in like every category. I'm going to say it's Roma.
Oh.
You're thinking Cold War?
I'm going to go with Cold War, yeah.
Yeah. It's got a lot of buzz. I haven't seen it yet.
Because I think it's going to have a lot of buzz. And nothing against Roma. But, yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, I did this before with someone else, and I actually picked Roma because I don't think it's going to win Best Picture. So I'm like, well, it'll at least win Best Foreign Language Film. But no, I think it's going to be Cold War.
Yeah, I mean, and who knows? It might win Best Picture, Roma. We don't know. It's not the first time a black and white film in recent years has won Best Picture. The artist. The French film that was silent won Best Picture.
What about Best Sound Editing?
Ooh, good choice. Let's get into the sound categories. What are our nominees?
All right, so we got Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, First Man, A Quiet Place, and Roma.
Mom, I'm going to be a dick and I'm going to say right away, not A Quiet Place, because almost the whole movie's silent.
That's but funny. That's the one I'm going with.
You know what? Maybe I'm wrong. You know what? You know what? You know what? You're right. That I was thinking sound mixing, because sound mixing is mixing the sounds that are there. Sound editing is in post editing sounds. The guy who edited the sound of A Quiet Place had to remove a lot of the crew standing around breathing because it's so quiet, that movie. Did you like A Quiet Place?
I never saw it.
Oh, I gotta tell you, everyone seems to like A Quiet Place. You and I talk about a lot of scary movies. I didn't get the fuss. I was like, and I especially like, you know, I talked about earlier, there was that Roma scene where she gives birth and it's in one take. And it's minutes long, that take of her giving birth. It's so intense.
Like a Gus Van Sant shot.
Gus Van Sant?
Yeah, you know, just like shooting the sky and what was it, elephant?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was just a long, drawn-out scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Except you aren't like, when is he going to cut? You're like, my God, this is intense. Because it's a woman giving birth. It doesn't go on too long. It's crazy. That scene. And anyway, but in A Quiet Place, she gives birth, and the idea is like in that movie, if you make sounds, then like the monsters come and eat you or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy it. I was like, come on. She's silently giving birth. And I was also like, she gave birth within like 30 seconds. Like, I don't know. I'm not buying it. You know? But A Quiet Place sound editing, like, you're probably right. It probably deserves best editing.
Is that what sound you're editing. Picking too?
Yeah, you changed my mind. I was thinking sound mixing, and it would be the last thing I picked for sound mixing. Sound editing, you are correct.
Well, that's because it's not even on the list for best sound mixing. That one's Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, First Man, Roma, and A Star Is Born.
Yeah. What do you think best sound mixing?
It's got to be either Bohemian Rhapsody or A Star Is Born, I'm thinking.
Right? I mean, Black Panther, like those battle scenes with all those famous actors were probably loud and crazy noises, but it's not going to get it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just because people are like, oh, music, sound, Star Is Born, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Then I could see a First Man winning something like this, possibly. But
yeah, maybe.
I'm just going to go with Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's a solid, solid choice. I'm torn, so I'm going to go with The Star Is Born.
Nice.
You know what's funny? Those movies are so similar. My mom never really seems to care about... she doesn't really say, I want to go see that movie. You know? My mom told me outright, without prompting, I really want to see A Star Is Born, and I really want to see Bohemian Rhapsody. And I'm like, huh. I guess my mom likes movies about guys with mustaches who sing and have alcohol problems.
Well, she has a type.
I guess so.
Well, we can finish off the audio part with Best Original Score.
Let's do it.
Black Panther, Best. Black Klansman, If Beale Street Could Talk, Isle of Dogs, and Mary Poppins Returns.
Man. I think these all had great scores, really. I was actually impressed with the scores of all these movies. I think, you know, we've talked about Alexandre Desplat, who did Isle of Dogs before. I actually think Mary Poppins Returns is going to win.
Nice. I'm gonna go with Black Panther.
Okay. Let me tell you, the nominee I'm choosing, Mark Shaiman for Mary Poppins, has been nominated 7 times, including South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, Patch Adams, First Wives Club, American President, and Sleepless in Seattle. I think he's gonna win Mary Poppins Returns, best score.
Nice. Let's see what else we got here. What do you, any category you're looking at?
Well, what else is left? Makeup? Let's do makeup real quick.
All right, makeup's only 3 people.
One. Yeah.
For
achievement.
No, go on.
Well, it's makeup and hairstyling, don't forget. So it's not just makeup, but also hairstyling. And I think... the movie Border, I don't know if you know what this is. It's a foreign film. It's the only award it's up for, I think. Basically, it's about these people in, like, I want to say it's Norway, and they're all cavemen. So they all have, like, prosthetic makeup to make them look like cavemen.
Is that the one you're choosing?
I'm not picking it. I'm just telling you that's why it's even nominated. I didn't see it. I also like, why are they cavemen? They're modern day. It's modern day, but they're cavemen. I don't know. Mary Queen of Scots, we've already discussed, is about queens and a few hundred years ago.
Vice should be pretty tough because, like, they had to make, like,
Christian Bale look like Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Made him bald and fat.
I'm going to go with Mary Queen of Scots.
I thought you were going to go. You threw me off. I thought you were going to go with Vice. Yeah. I am also going to go with Mary Queen of Scots. And here's why. You didn't see it. I think it probably takes a lot of work to make Margaret Robbie look as ugly as she did. She had like boils on her face and like receding hairline and like a red wig. I think to make Margot Robbie look ugly, it took a lot of hair and makeup.
It probably did.
She's just a beautiful woman, like, you know, see her in, like, Harley Quinn and stuff, and you're like, damn, she's beautiful, even though she's got, like, crap smeared on her.
All right, let's do the best animated feature.
Oh. This one, Incredibles we're probably going to agree on.
Isle of Dogs. This is Myria. Ralph Breaks the Internet and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. I saw all of these except Mirai, which I think is Japanese, based on the title. And what do you think is going to win, Sean?
I have seen Isle of the Dogs. I have not seen anything else, but I hear really good things about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Is that your pick?
No. I'll just go with Isle of Dogs because I like Wes Anderson films.
Okay. I think it's really well done. I think it's stop motion animation. I don't know if maybe it's computer, but
I think so.
I think so too. And I think it's good, but I'm going to go with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's a different style of animation than I've ever seen. And everyone who's seen it is raving about it. I think Ralph Breaks the Internet and Incredibles 2 are awesome, but I think Disney, people who are voting, are going to be split amongst those two for Disney. And I think Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Nice. All right, we're kind of dragging on, but there's a couple categories, not necessarily commercial break-worthy categories where we don't have to announce them, but we can kind of go through pretty fast because we don't really know much about the documentaries and the shorts and stuff, just don't always have access to them.
We'll go real quick through those. And then all we have left, I think, is Best Actor, right?
Best Supporting Actress, and then we can finish off with Director.
Oh, yeah. Best Supporting Actress and Director. All right, so real quick, what is up for documentary?
Feature?
Yep.
There's one called Free Solo, Hell Country This Morning, This Evening, Minding the Gap, of Fathers and Sons, and RBG.
What's your pick?
RBG.
I agree. I haven't seen any of them.
I haven't seen any of them, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
It has the most buzz, right?
Yeah.
You know what it's about. No, everyone knows what it's about.
All right.
I don't know what some of these other movies are about. Actually, Minding the Gap was just on TV the other day on PBS, and I think it might be on Hulu or something. It's about like a Rust Belt, poor people in a Rust Belt town. Might even be in our hometown for all we know. I have no idea. That's how little I know about that movie.
Well, then we got Best Documentary Short, Black Sheep, Endgame, Lifeboat, A Night at the Garden, Period, End of Sentence.
I know Period, End of Sentence is about periods, like vaginas.
Oh, that makes sense.
Hell, since I know that, I'll pick it. I think it's about how people, they deal with, societies deal with periods around the world.
I'm going to go with Black Sheep, because I'm pretty sure the Black Sheep movie with David Spade and Chris Farley was never nominated, and I think this is their chance to shine.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't nominated for an
Oscar. We got Best Animated Short, Animal Behavior, Late Afternoon, One Small Step, Weekends, and Bao.
I think it's Bao, and I think it's about a food, Asian food.
Which one are you going to go with on these ones? These are animated shorts.
I actually saw Bao because it was the opening to Incredibles 2. It was the Pixar short. I didn't like it, but I think people did, and I'm going to go with it.
All right, I don't think it's about Neil Armstrong, but One Small Step is what I'm going with, because I think First Man dropped the ball on the Neil Armstrong story.
You know, it's a pretty good choice. It's about a little girl who wants to go to the moon or something, or dreams about being an astronaut. So
yeah, close enough. And last would be Best Live Action Short. Mother, not to be confused with the Darren Aronofsky movie.
It's actually called Madre on my list because it's in Spanish. They must have translated for you.
Skin. And I can't read my handwriting.
Marguerite.
Marguerite. Detainment. And was that Fauve?
Fauve, I guess. Yeah, whatever Fauve is.
I'm not sure, so I'll just go with that one.
I have no idea what any of these movies are about. I'm going to go with Marguerite.
All right, I think that wraps up all the categories except for two, which we can get to a little bit more in depth, especially on the last one. So best supporting actress, Nick.
I got to say, this is really hard for me. These two of these are my favorite actresses. Or three of these are among, I would say three of these are in my top five favorite actresses. Amy Adams for Vice. She plays Dick Cheney's wife. Emma Stone in The Favorite. She plays a, and Rachel Weisz in The Favorite. They play two women who are vying to be the favorite of the queen. Rachel Weisz, they're cousins. Rachel Weisz is the favorite of the queen. She's her, not only is she her best friend, but she's also her lesbian lover, spoiler alert. And then Emma Stone...
I was supposed to say spoiler alert before you.
Yeah, too bad. You heard it. Listen, if you think this movie's about anything except a lesbian love triangle, you are incorrect. This is a movie about a lesbian love triangle. And Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz are vying for who's the favorite of the queen. Are they doing it to have a better life for political power or because they really love her or they like the sex? Who knows? Those are three of my five favorite actresses, I believe. And I'm going to say I'm not going to vote for Emma Stone or Rachel Weisz because they split the vote on the favorite, I think. I think they're both excellent in the same movie. I think anyone who wants one of them to, I think they're going to split the vote because it's for the favorite. I also am not going to vote for Amy Adams, one of my other favorite actresses, for Vice. I think she's amazing. I think she's already won before. I'm going to say Regina King, for If Beale Street Could Talk.
Oh. I also went with her on a different one, on a different, me just messing around choosing who's going to win these. I went with Regina King. But I think I'm going to go with Amy Adams. And mostly because of Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz splitting it for being in the same movie.
All right.
That's what I think, unless someone thought one of them outperformed the other.
No, I mean, I think it's really hard to choose between those two in that category because they were both excellent. The problem with Marina de Tavira is...
from Roma.
From Roma. Many people don't know who she is. She's good in the movie. But if you're going to choose one actress to vote for Roma, if you really love Roma, I think you're going to vote for Yalitza because she plays the pregnant nanny and the other woman plays the boss of the nanny in her home, the upper middle class white woman in Mexico. And she's going through divorce. I mean, she's good. I just think if you're going to choose one, you're going to choose the other one who had more intense scenes. I think Regina King was great in If Beale Street Could Talk. I think the only reason to watch If Beale Street Could Talk was for her performance. And now I'm second guessing. Maybe I should be voting for one of these other great actresses because they were all freaking amazing. Like, this is my favorite category this year, actually, is supporting actress. I'm watching this year for supporting actress. I'm like, which one's going to win?
Really? This is your favorite category?
This year. Yeah. I'm like, wow. They're all great. Like, who's going to win?
Yeah, it's not one of my favorite's best director.
All right, I'm not going to lie. That's the one I'm really watching. But I thought I'd, show some love to for best supporting actress.
No. I mean, three of your five favorite actresses are in this category, already nominated. It could be your favorite category.
I mean, it isn't always, but this time it is.
Yeah.
I'm pumped for best directing, though. These are all great directors, of course. I got to say, even though they're great and skilled, I like some of their movies better than others, personally. Who's nominated?
Oh, who's nominated? Well, we got Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. Adam McKay for Vice. Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favorite. And Paul Palik. Ghosty for Cold War. I am not good with names. I've definitely messed them up.
Well, we've talked about Alfonso Cuarón and what he's done earlier.
Yeah.
In this podcast.
The funny thing is as I'm reading these guys, I was in the other categories for the favorite, I didn't think this director would get nominated or will win Best Director because, like, Emma Stone, Rachel Weisz, and who's the other? Olivia Colman, they're all nominated for, you know, Best Actor or Actresses and Best Supporting Actresses. It's very much similar to, like, Mystic River, where Clint Eastwood was nominated for Best Director, but they were like, nah, you were working with, you know, A-listers.
Yeah.
And which is the complete opposite, where Alfonso Cuarón is just working with people that no one's ever heard of, and two of them
no one's heard of them. Yeah.
So it's really hard to bet against him with that.
But you know, we've talked about Roma a little bit. I keep bringing up that scene. It's a long take. It's black and white. It's a period piece. You know, this is stuff the director all deals with, too. He makes choices on, you know, he's the overall boss of the film. So he's making choices on, you know, cars and, you know, what car. And I say that for Roma because there's a scene, there's a comedic bit like ongoing throughout the movie with a car and, you know, costume and sets, everything. You know, I'd say that's a pretty strong choice you got there.
Yeah, I'm not choosing him, but it's
it's really
hard not to. Adam McKay for Vice. I just don't. I mean, when you're working with, you know, Amy Adams, Christian Bale, Sam Rockwell,
you know, don't forget he's also already won for Best Director for The Big Short back in 2016.
Oh, all right. Then that was a better story.
Oh, no, I'm lying. I'm sorry. He was nominated for The Big Short.
I didn't think he won.
He won Adapted Screenplay Oscar for the Big Short, but he didn't win Director.
I think that's going to be another thing with him is the people he was working with.
Could be.
May diminish his directing ability in the eyes of whoever's voting.
Okay.
Cold War, I have not seen. I definitely need to see this movie soon because it's nominated for a lot of stuff.
It looks amazing. I want to go see it. It's like next up on my movies to go see. The only reason I haven't seen it yet is I've got this AMC. It's like Movie Pass, but only at AMC Movies, and the movie hasn't been playing at AMC. It's the only reason, and they didn't mail me a screener. It's the only reason I haven't seen this movie. So,
but I'm going with Spike Lee.
I am also going with Spike Lee, and if you know me personally, you've heard me talk about Spike Lee's directing before. He's one of my favorites. I think he's overdue for an Oscar. He's been nominated for 5 Oscars and never won. He won an honorary award at the Academy Awards in 2016, which I didn't even know it was for, but that's nice. I don't know what the honorary award was for. I guess just because they're like, this guy's awesome. He deserves one.
Yeah.
He was nominated for Best Documentary for 4 Little Girls. He was nominated for Do the Right Thing. For writing the screenplay back in 89. Well, 90, I guess, is when it was up for the award. But I think, you know, he's nominated for directing, for adaptive screenplay, and Best Picture this year. I got to say, I think he's going to win Best Director this time. And I really, really hope he does.
This is the only category that I really want him to win that.
Yeah. I mean, look, Yorgos Lanthimos is a good director, but I don't personally like his movie, The Lobster. And The Favorite, they're all right, but like when they were over, I was just kind of like, I feel like they didn't live up to their hype. He's also done Killing of the Sacred Deer, which is streaming on, I think, Netflix right now. He's been nominated for 3 Oscars, for the twice for The Favorite and 1 for The Lobster screenplay. I don't know. I don't think he's going to win for this.
No, I think him and Adam McKay are in kind of the same boat.
Yeah,
I mean, where Spike Lee and Alfonso Cuarón, like, What am I looking for here? And like, yeah, the driver's nominated, and okay. But you know, he's been around. He's been in a lot of stuff, so I could see a really good case for Alfonso and Roma to win Best Director. I just hope it's Spike Lee.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Pawlikowski's been around. People don't know his name. It's not a household name, but he did a lesbian love story called My Summer of Love in 2004 with Emily Blunt in it that I don't remember if I saw or not, but I remember it. I think it actually might have been at that the Rochester Gay and Lesbian Film Festival we did back in 2005.
Maybe.
The Image Out Awards or a festival. And then he also did this. He directed a film called Ida, was his last movie 5 years ago. A nun in 1960s Poland. And she's got a dark secret that dates back to the German occupation.
All right. What about Cold War?
I didn't see it. Let's just leave it at that. We're both choosing Spike Lee. And we hope he wins.
Yeah.
I love Black Klansman, man. I think it's hilarious. I think it's suspenseful. I think it's an intense drama. It's a true story. It deals with, you know, race issues. And I think it doesn't do it. I don't think it's one-sided either. You know, I think, you know, you've got them dealing with the Ku Klux Klan, who are obviously a group that hates a lot of people. But you have, it's not just, you know, people sometimes, if you haven't seen the movie, you see a Spike Lee movie and you think, oh, he's going to deal with, you know, some white people being racist towards black people. But it's like, no, but there's also racism towards Jewish people in this movie. There's also white people in this movie who aren't racist. I think it's a balanced film.
Yeah, because I was watching him talk about it, and it's like everything he does is kind of like, it's got to be... You know, yeah, like it's something for everyone. Like, you may not be like that person, but you probably know someone who talks like that, or, you know, whatever. Yeah, so it's, yeah, something for everyone.
Yeah,
I guess.
And the acting is all good in it, but it's not. I mean, sure, you know Adam Driver's name, but you don't necessarily know Denzel Washington's son, who's the star of the movie,
John David Washington, right?
Right, and you don't necessarily know another guy in the movie, Steve Buscemi's younger brother. Most people have no, they're like, this guy reminds me of Steve Buscemi, but it's like, yeah, because it's his brother.
Yeah, they look so similar.
Yeah, but like, what have you seen him in? Probably not much. He's other than Buscemi's stuff, Michael Buscemi.
Yeah, I mean, Topher Grace is in it. Like,
oh yeah. And he plays the leader of the Ku Klux Klan, and he's hilarious at it. Like, you think you'd play that a little more, like, angry and, like, evil, but he plays him as kind of like a, like, just a regular, he's almost like a kiss-ass, handshaking politician businessman, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It was, I hope it was a really fun movie. Out of all the movies that, like, get nominated, I could watch that one over and over again.
Yeah.
Well, we have our picks. We're going to see who wins them all.
This Sunday. Yeah. Tune in. And then join us at next episode of The Real Movie Busters. Maybe we'll at least tell us which one of us had the most correct guesses on the Academy Award winners and our predictions. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. You can follow us on the social media. My Instagram's the best way to follow me, and then, you know, that I've also got the Twitter, but Instagram is @real, like Real Movie Busters and Movie Reels, R-E-E-L _Nick_Adrian, that's A-D-R-I-A-N, and on Twitter, I'm NickAdrian1.
And you can follow me on Instagram @RealSeanFarrell.
Real
as E-E-L.
Yeah.
All right, that was good. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks for listening.